25. Early the next morning, Caro flew to the States. Weigert had arranged everything. Or maybe Julian and Weigert together. Or with Barbara. Or Molly. Her room had been full of people. Barbara had offered to go with her. That much penetrated the fog of grief and worry, but Caro refused. Her flight from Miami was delayed and then canceled. Mechanical difficulties. Caro rebooked. It was evening before she reached Ellen's shabby little house. A strange woman opened the door. Two more women sat on the sagging couch, eating from Ellen's plastic bowls. "Yes?" the stranger said briskly. 60-ish, and heavyset. Her face militarily stern. She looked capable of leading armies. Patton in a flowered apron. "I'm Ellen's sister," Caro said. The woman's face softened. She said in an upcountry southern accent, "Oh, thank the Lord. None of us know nothing about how to help her. Come in." Caro did. The other women put down their bowls and rose, nodding politely, introducing themselves. They were neighbors, called to duty by the woman who'd answered the door. None of them offered a first name. Mrs. Foster. Caro vaguely remembered hearing that name before, from Kayla. Mrs. Carruthers, Mrs. Green. They addressed Caro as Doctor. "We cleaned up a bit," Mrs. Foster said. "The place needed it." The living room and kitchen were immaculate, the table crowded with casseroles and cakes. Someone had removed Angelica's changing table and crib, although Caro had no idea where they could have been put in the tiny house. Everything smelled strongly of pine disinfectant, like an entire hospitalized forest. "Thank you," Caro said. "Where are Ellen and Kayla?"
"Kayla is finally asleep in her room," said Mrs. Foster. "And Mrs. Kemp, well, you better see her for yourself."
She moved purposefully to Ellen's bedroom. This room had not been cleaned. Clothes lay strewn on the floor and on the unmade bed. The room smelled bad. Ellen sat in the corner in an upholstered chair that had once been yellow. She stared unmovingly ahead, not raising her eyes when Caro walked over to her. "Ellen?" No answer. Caro knelt on the floor. "Ellen? It's Caro."
"Yes,"
Ellen said. And then,
"Angelica's dead."
"I know. I'm so very sorry. I'm here now, Ellen."
"Yes."
And then,
"Angelica's dead."
Caro took her hand. It lay cold and limp, unresponsive. "Ellen, have you talked to Kayla?"
"Yes."
Pause.
"Angelica's dead."
Caro, blinded by sudden tears, blinked them away, angry at herself. "Not now." But Ellen's condition shocked her to the core. Ellen, who'd always seemed so strong. Caro stood and turned to Mrs. Foster. "How long has she been like this?
Ever since the ambulance come and take that poor dead child away?"
Mrs. Foster jerked her head toward the bedroom door, and Caro followed her back to the living room.
"Betty Green has a car, and she was going to drive Mrs. Kemp wherever, the hospital or the funeral home. But Mrs. Kemp, she just sank into the chair like that. She never moved since yesterday. And what you heard is all she says. Even Kayla, crying and carrying on, didn't rouse her none. I slept here last night, but nothing changed. The hospital keep calling about what to do with the remains, but we didn't know what to tell them. Fairly Memorial, I wrote down the number."
"I'm grateful for all your help," Caro said.
"You should eat something, Doctor. The stew is still hot."
"Thank you. A little later. It smells delicious."
"You want us to stay or go?"
The question, so straightforward, penetrated the fog of unreality enveloping Caro
ever since Mrs. Foster had opened the door. Ellen. Resourceful and courageous Ellen. Loving and blithe Ellen. Had collapsed in on herself. Caro had seen this reaction to grief before. Not talking, not eating, not washing. Grief that gnawed away from the inside, body and soul. The inconsolable mourning for a lost child. She had seen it before, and the memory sickened her. But no, not Ellen. Ellen was nothing like their father. Mrs. Foster waited for an answer. Caro reached for one. I think I'd like to be alone with my sister just now, thank you. But if I need someone to stay with Kayla while I take Ellen... Where? My number is right there, under the hospitals, Mrs. Foster said. Along with Jackson Funeral Home. They won't gouge you on the cost. I'm leaving you the stew. You both gotta eat. And our prayer circle will pray for you.
Thank you.
At some invisible signal, the other women scraped their stew bowls into the garbage, washed them, stacked them in the drain, and patted Caro's arm on their way out, murmuring condolences. This all took only a few moments. Caro had seen surgical teams less efficient. Caro opened the door to Kayla's room. The little girl lay in stained pajamas on top of her faded quilt, nose red, eyes open.
I'm here, sweetheart, Caro said. I'm here. Don't cry.
I wasn't crying,
Kayla lied.
Okay.
Caro sat on the edge of the bed, drawing Kayla beside her.
Can you tell me what happened?
God took Angelica to heaven, Kayla said. That's what Mrs. Foster said. Only there isn't any heaven, and I told her that, and she went like this, and I didn't like it.
No, Caro said. What did happen to Angelica?
Mom was changing her, and she had a big seizure, and then made some terrible noises. And then she died. Mom called you, and after that she grabbed Angelica and took her to her bedroom chair and sat there. Angelica was all floppy, and Mom wouldn't answer me, and I got scared and ran next door to get Mrs. Foster.
Kayla gave her terrible little history in a tough, matter-of-fact voice that Caro suddenly recognized. It echoed her own tone in a crisis.
I'm sorry. Our best efforts couldn't save the patient.
I'm furious about Becker, but I don't show it.
It will be all right, Ellen. Don't listen to that bitch.
Caro said, You did the right thing, Kayla. Mrs. Foster said an ambulance came and took Angelica away.
Mom wouldn't let go. They had to fight her. And then Mom got... like she is now. She won't talk to me. But I don't care.
Too much bravado. No 9-year-old should have to deal with this. Kayla needed help as much as Ellen did, and right now the best thing was to get the little girl moving. Caro drew her close and said gently,
Of course you care. But I'm here now. I want you to do something for me, Kayla.
Take a shower and get dressed while I make some phone calls. Then we'll heat up some of that stew. We should eat.
I'm not hungry.
We'll see. But first, shower and dress. Kayla stumbled into the bathroom. Caro steeled herself and made the phone calls. The hospital morgue, the funeral home, the hospital again, Mrs. Foster. Kayla emerged, dressed, and Caro heated the stew. She didn't want food, but both of them needed to eat, and when she spooned some into her mouth, it was delicious. Church ladies always cooked superbly. Kayla did too. Ellen would not eat, move, talk, except to say, Angelica is dead. Kayla would no longer even glance toward her mother's bedroom door. In the shower, she seemed to have fallen into a remote stoniness, more disturbing than tears. Mrs. Foster returned to stay with Kayla while Caro took Ellen to Fairley Memorial for psych evaluation. They admitted her immediately. When Caro explained to Kayla that her mother was going to be in the hospital for a little while, so the doctors could help her, Kayla didn't ask what kind of help, how long her mother would be away, or anything else. She just nodded, with a willed toughness that Caro knew all too well. She saw it in her mirror, had seen it there for nearly a decade, all through med school and fellowship training. Ever since that other funeral, that had changed everything. The only thing Kayla asked was, "Will Mom be back for the funeral?" "Sweetie, I don't think we're going to have a funeral. Your mom said she wanted cremation and no ceremony that..." Kayla's stoicism shattered. "There still has to be a funeral. There's always a funeral." Where had Kayla gotten that idea? Before Caro could ask, Kayla erupted.
"If you don't have a funeral, it means you didn't love the person," she shouted. "We loved Angie. There has to be a funeral. There has to be."
"All right, yes. We'll have a funeral.
Promise. Promise me."
"I promise."
"Okay."
Caro tried to hug Kayla, but Kayla pulled away, marched into her room, and closed the door. When she didn't come out, Caro searched the house. She found the kitchen drawer with Ellen's financial records. She also accessed her own bank statements on her laptop and sat crunching numbers for an hour. Not good. Caro's large advance from Watkins was nearly gone, spent on home help for Angelica and overdue payments on Caro's med school debt. Weigert had paid for the expensive lawyer for Kayla's custody hearing, but that money was also spent. Her salary at the project had seemed astronomical, by her standards anyway. But she had ongoing med school loans, and Ellen had unpaid bills for rent, electricity, heat, a credit card. Medicaid would cover a portion of Ellen's hospital bills, but would there be uncovered portions? And now, a funeral. She paid the utility bills with her credit card and sent the minimum amount to Ellen's credit card company. The Jackson Funeral Home's website listed estimated costs. After reading them, Caro hunted through all Ellen's cupboards for wine, or better yet, liquor. She found a single bottle of cheap wine and drank half of it. She also found a book for children called A Funeral is a Sad Thing, which told a story designed to help kids through this sad but important occasion that shows how much you loved the person who is gone. Had Ellen bought it to prepare Kayla for the inevitable about Angelica? Probably. And yet Ellen's collapse showed how little she herself had been emotionally prepared for Angelica's death. This important occasion that shows how much you loved. Caro cursed the author and hurled the book into the trash.